Up next, we're going to be turning to Jan Hocken and student activist Annika Main. They're going to be talking about the Giuliana versus United States case and a rally later this morning that you can go to about it. Jan?
We'll celebrate the good witches. Well, welcome to KABU, Annika Main.
Thank you for having me.
Last week on the Old Mole, Mary Wood, director of the University of Oregon Environmental and Natural Resources Law Center, came onto the show to talk about Giuliana versus the United States government, a trial that was scheduled to begin in Eugene today on, based on a lawsuit against the U.S. Government for their failure to act on climate change. Well, Annika, you are here today to talk about this case from the perspective of youth organizers, and it is a case where the plaintiffs are all young people. For those who have not been following the lawsuit, the Trump administration won from the Supreme Court last week. No surprise. A delay or postponement in the trial. So let's start by talking just briefly about the case, the plaintiffs and the basis of this lawsuit.
Right. So the plaintiff's goal is to effectively take legal action against climate change. So there are 21 plaintiffs currently ranging from ages 10 to 21. And the legitimate goal here is to get our CO2 parts per million down to 350 by the year 2100. Currently, we're at about 406 parts per million. That is a really unhealthy level. So the end of the lawsuit, the plan is for us to reduce these by, you know, regulating industries, making sure that people are aware of the effects of climate change. There's been a lot of talk about climate change, but obviously legitimate action by the United States is pretty limited, especially because we are not currently in the Paris Climate Agreement. So ideally this case will, you know, reach that goal of 350.
And these cases lumber along at a slow pace. And of course, the petroleum industry and many of the oil companies were listed as the were listed in the complaint early on, and they have armies of lawyers,
right.
Kind of can often wait out the opposition, and that's been so difficult for social movements to lawyer up the same level,
right,
or to use the courts in the same way that dominant groups and corporations have been able to use the courts. And they have a very friendly now Supreme Court that will probably,
right,
even if the suit goes forward and they win, will probably be overturned by the Supreme Court. So how do you think about the strategy of using the courts in a fight that where you're, it is like David against a mega Goliath?
Right. I think it's a unique way to go about it. We've seen so many rallies, so much activism, and sadly, we really haven't seen the legislative change. And nationally and locally, I would say there's been some progress, but it's harder to document. Like with the Women's March, that's one example where millions of people marched in the streets. We didn't see change. So I think this is a really unique way to go about it because the effects are so hard set. It's not just a movement, it's true legal action, which I think it provides a pretty high standard for what needs to be done. And I think the level of accountability is so much greater because it's law. And that's really about as strict as you can go in this country in terms of the changes you want to see. However, you know, climate change is a timely manner. It's continuing to get worse. And the fact that the trial keeps getting delayed just kind of shows the neglect on the government's part of this issue. You know, we need to solve this now. We should have solved it sooner. The action we're taking is simply not enough. So ideally, this trial will get through and we will be able to see legitimate legal change against climate change.
Because the process of the suit itself, as I understand it, requires the government to present documents that show the collusion with oil companies,
right,
and documents that are not ordinarily available to the public. So I understand that's part of the strategy,
right,
forcing the hand of the
right,
government to show what's behind the the immoral resistance to addressing the climate emergency. Well, how do you think about the organizing of particularly young people around this issue that it is so hard for most people to get their mind around, and many adults, you know, the good parent protects their children from horrifying things in the world, and young people now are being drawn into a horror story that doesn't end when you leave the theater.
Right.
How do you try to think about this issue and encourage other young people to think about something that threatens the entire life of the planet?
Well, I think there's so much hope, and that's often hard to find, especially with issues and the way that we see issues presented, is it all just feels hopeless. But I think young people come from this unique perspective of, we haven't had the weight of the world upon us for very long, so we get to choose what we focus on. And I also think...
How depressed... Well, actually, young people can get quite depressed.
Right.
But the weight of the world, in the sense that you don't feel the guilty... Maybe it's
right.
Also the guilty complicity.
We get to
the
put
problem.
It on the people before us. But
that's right. You really screwed things up.
But
now we have to... deal with this.
Right. And at the same time, we sort of have this responsibility, right? Because there are so many things that we want to accomplish, and climate change is sort of our gateway into doing those things. So, you know, we all want to get an education. We all want to, you know, grow up and do really exciting things, but we need a planet to do that on. So I think that's really where one of the main focuses of fixing climate change comes from, is we have a responsibility to do it. And who else is going to do it but us? You know, we have these amazing, incredible tools to create change. The introduction of social media to activism, it's a really incredible partnership. Of course, there are problems, but we believe we have the power, and we do, to have our voices really, really heard. And I think when you want power and you can command it in a way that includes everyone and is effective, people really will listen to you. I think having 21 youth plaintiffs come with this case garners so much more attention than, you know, five adults who've been continuing the movement. And, you know, adults are just as credible in the movement, but at the same time, if you...
And also have futures they're planning.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But if you come from a young perspective saying, you know, this is something I really believe in, I think it really commands people's attention, because there is such an idea, you know, especially with teenagers, that we don't do anything. And that's, you know, simply not true. Mm-hmm. At this rally today, I know that tons of youth will come, and I think it'll be really exciting to see.
And that's a rally we'll talk about again before we close. That'll be at Terry Schrunk Plaza today at 11:30. But I think there's also a moral responsibility that adults near universally feel toward their children, and that children have rights, and they're not throughout history necessarily, but there has been a children's rights movement, certainly since the 19th century, that it's children are idealized, and there's often a kind of a fantasy of childhood, a state of innocence. But aside from that, there has been a recognition throughout the world of the rights of the child. And this, I think, draws on that, the rights to a future. You have youth throughout the world that are have been part of this movement. Can you say something about the global reach of the case, even though it's based here in Eugene with the our children's trust?
Right. So climate change is a global issue. And the fact that it's sweeping across the country, you know, the Paris Climate Agreement is an international plan. And I think this is really one of those issues where the world can come together to change it. That's what's really unique about it as well. And I think, you know, you get a different perspective from everyone you talk to, even within Portland, within America. If you look to the world, the ideas that we have to solve a problem are so sweeping and broad, that really it only makes sense to solve this globally. And, you know, I think a lot about how sometimes we need something really dire and drastic for people to actually work together. And even though that can be kind of disheartening, it's really it's also really empowering to see that, you know, different countries are working together and that youth all over the world are communicating with each other. And I think that's really powerful.
There are apparently thousands of lawsuits against governments around the world. And some of you are part, and some of these groups are part of the network through the Juliana versus United States case. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you have ways of communicating with each other. And so before we close, say a little bit about the rally today and what will happen. And I think the joy you bring to this depressing topic.
Right. So we will have many youth speaking at Terry D. Shrunk Plaza today from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll have ways for you to continue to stay involved afterwards. And I think it's just going to be a really powerful way to hear about climate change and advocacy and what you can do.
And kids from quite an age range,
right,
of youth.
Yeah, we'll have 4-year-olds and college students. So please come and see this incredible rally.
Okay. It's a great way to spend Halloween week.
Right.
Yeah. So Annika Main, thank you so much for being here. You're an inspiring activist and also involved in the anti-violence, anti-gun student organizing here in Portland. Mm-hmm. That's also inspiring in its vision of a peaceful, more cooperative world.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.